Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the OCBC Financial Wellness Index, which was launched in 2019, it's dipped to 61 this year, down from 63, and that's with the unprecedented COVID-19 pandemic and resulting global economic slump causing a drag on Singaporeans' financial wellness. To help us understand what these numbers actually mean and to provide some insight on investment strategy in the year ahead, we're joined today by Vasu Menon, the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, welcome back.
Hello, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Always lovely to have you with us. So, Vasu, let's first start off with these numbers because, as I mentioned, the index has dipped to 61 this year. That's 2 points, and 2 points doesn't really sound like much, but how significant is this?
Well, Rachel, you're right. A dip of 2 points may not seem like a lot, especially given the backdrop of COVID-19 and the economic slump, as you mentioned. But when you drill into details, you see some worrying information. What the survey showed was that COVID-19 has affected the ability of Singaporeans to pay off their home loans and their credit card bills. So with more pressing financial worries, what you see is Singaporeans putting aside their long-term goals like retirement planning on the back burner, and this is definitely not healthy. And what we've also found is that, you know, more people borrowing more money, paying only the minimum on their credit card bills, speculating excessively in financial markets for quick gains. And again, these are not behaviors that will contribute to financial wellness in the long term. So that 2 point dip may not sound significant, but when you drill into the behavioral traits of what contributed to that dip, the traits are rather worrying.
And let's talk about that, because financial wellness can mean very different things to different people. Can you walk us through the 10 pillars of this index and why they're so important?
Indeed, Rachel. The index is, you know, as you said, based on 10 pillars of financial wellness. And let me just tell you what they are. Savings habits, protection from financial emergencies, regular investing, retirement planning, regular reviews, which are very, very important, gambling habits, excessive speculation in the financial markets, borrowing habits, spending habits, and, you know, how people manage their debt. And, you know, to assess how the respondents fared on these 10 pillars, we created 24 indicators, and these indicators are widely accepted by people in the financial planning industry. And the resulting scores on the respondents are then averaged to derive the index that we talked about at the beginning. So to give you an example, two indicators. We assess whether respondents save regularly and invest their savings. Now, this is very important because unless individuals actually save enough and invest their money actively and regularly, they're not going to be able to meet their long-term life goals and financial goals. Things like, for example, retirement planning. So those are the factors that, you know, drove the index.
Now, before we dig straight into the numbers, given the year that we've had, what stood out to you the most from the latest findings?
Good question, Rachel, because, you know, one data that stood out to me was the fact that the survey found that 75% of Singaporeans are not on track to retire at their ideal age and to live their ideal retirement lifestyle. 75% is a very, very large number. And to me, it's rather worrying. It means that more needs to be done in Singapore to educate and encourage Singaporeans to work systematically and plan for their golden years.
Where specifically is this gap, though, for retirement?
Well, you know, I think essentially what is happening is that, you know, we found that many of the respondents do not comprehend the fact that, you know, you need a certain amount of money to retire comfortably. For example, the survey found that many respondents did not know that you need $2,300 to lead a basic retirement lifestyle. And for a higher-end retirement lifestyle, you need $5,200 a month, right? So I think knowing how much you need is crucial for retirement planning. And our survey showed that, you know, 75% of Singaporeans are falling behind in the retirement plans. So I think, you know, essentially that underlines the gap, a lack of understanding, a lack of rigor in financial planning, and those contributed to the gap.
We're speaking with Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. And, you know, Vasu, as you mentioned, it has been a tough year for many, and your findings pointed out that a large portion of respondents admitted to overborrowing money from friends and family to get buy. We've also seen the trend that you mentioned earlier. You know, it's been a volatile stock market, but more people have entered the market and have been excessively speculating for quick gains. How concerned are you about this trend?
Very concerned. Clearly shows that Singaporeans' financial wellness needs attention. Mm-hmm. Now, when we did the survey in 2019, 8% said that they often borrow money from their friends and relatives. But this year, that number has gone up from 8% to 11%.
Right.
Also, last year, when we did the survey, 18% said they are, you know, speculating excessively for quick gains. This year, the number has increased very sharply to 24%. So when you borrow too much of money, that sets you back from achieving your long-term financial goals, because you've got to then, you know, repay your debt, and you've got less money to save and invest. Similarly, if you speculate excessively in the market, that could result in significant losses, deplete your resources, and stop you from achieving, you know, the more important financial goals in life.
Because you need to do your homework, right, before you make an informed decision on an investment.
Indeed. I think, you know, research is a crucial part of the whole equation. You know, speculating excessively based on hearsay, based on what your friends tell you, what families tell you, maybe even just getting tips online may not be the best way to invest, because it can set you back in a big way. And, you know, once you've got that hole in your portfolio, big losses, then, you know, you've got to recover from the losses, and that distracts you from, you know, the longer term goals.
Now, another interesting point that I found from this latest study was that women see investing as gambling, just following on the back of that point. Yet, those with confidence invest better than men. Can you tell us more about those stats?
So our survey actually found that 38% of women see investing as gambling compared to 30%, you know, for men. Yet, among the women and men who do research and get advice from qualified financial reps, more women, 68%, met or exceeded the investment targets. Now, this compares with 59% for men. So to me, it seems that more women with confidence actually undertake research before investing, and this may have contributed to their better financial performance, their investment performance. And we talked about it earlier, the importance of research.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what comes through with women who are more confident. They actually undertake the research and speak to a financial rep and do their homework before they take the plunge, and it comes through in terms of investment returns.
And just following on from that, because another interesting point was that only 17% of couples have both parties making investment decisions together. But when this happens, the investment returns are almost double that of couples with a single decision maker.
Interesting observation. I agree with you. To me, this is wonderful, because it tells me that couples who work together mm-hmm. in planning for their financial future do better in terms of making investment decisions. It clearly shows that, you know, more couples need to make investment decisions together. Two minds
better than one.
Ideas is definitely. You know, you share ideas, you discuss things, and you know, when one person goes off track, then the other, you know, can basically pull the person back, serve as a check and balance, and prevent potential losses, which can really set you back.
So Vasu, as we look to 2021, I mean, we're all hoping for a better year. What are some of your top tips to get financially ahead and start planning as we come into the next year?
Rachel, I would say I have three tips for, you know, the listeners. Firstly, before you even start planning for 2021, take stock of your finances in 2020 to make sure that you're not spending beyond your means
mm-hmm.
and that you're saving at least 10% of your income. Secondly, if you are sitting on idle savings, look at putting it to work by investing prudently. And if you're not sure how to do that, seek help from a financial advisor if necessary. And finally, one of the key findings of the survey, don't ignore long-term goals like retirement. Sure, next year may be a good year for the stock markets, but, you know, don't forget long-term goals. Put in place concrete plans to ensure that you have sufficient funds in your golden years. You can't just think about what's going to happen in the next 1-2 years. I think it's very important that people think enough about what's going to happen to them in their golden years. And that's one of the key findings of the OCBC Financial Wellness Index Survey.
Vasu, on the back of that, talk to us about the SG Findex that's been launched, because I'm assuming that will help with financial literacy and also with helping people to understand where they are financially positioned.
Definitely, Rachel. SG Findex allows individuals to have a comprehensive understanding of their financial data and holdings. And I think this will clearly facilitate financial planning and financial wellness. Now, with the introduction of this SG Findex, we have launched the OCBC Financial OneView. Now, it's a digital financial dashboard that allows our customers to understand their overall financial health by viewing their finances across their financial institutions all in one place. Now, with that consolidated data, we leverage on artificial intelligence to provide our customers with personalized financial planning and to guide them to take action. So let me give you an example. If the data, for example, indicates that a customer has no investments but has lots of idle funds in his account, then what we do is the AI will then nudge the customers to invest their funds and not sit on idle funds. Another example, the financial data that you get from SGP Index will automatically populate OCBC's Live Goals financial planning tools, removing the need for customers to manually input the data. So this will make it easier for customers to plan, you know, for their financial goals and for their dream retirement.
So really to help you make your money work harder for you.
Indeed, definitely.
That's
very important, Rachel. You know, I think making your money work harder for you is critical. Thinking about long-term goals are critical. And those are the two key messages I hope, you know, investors take away or listeners take away.
Well, Vasu, thank you so much for sharing those insights with us.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.